Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I pick up my audio recorder when I drop the kids off at school and deliver an episode to you while I walk home. I'm Brendan Riley. Good morning, listeners. It is Thursday, August 30th, and I'm coming to you from a nice, cool morning in suburban Chicago. I'm recording my episode having dropped off my son at school and walking home. I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about a couple of things that have, conversations that have come up in various places that I'm seeing connections between and sort of my thoughts on the matter. So the first of these comes from a segment of, I believe it's episode 129 of Blue Peg, Pink Peg, in which Patrick Kelly, one of the hosts, talks a little bit about what he sees as a worrisome shift in how board games are being covered. That in particular, he's worrying about the fact that there are mainstream media sources that have started covering board games, but they don't seem to be employing people who really know very much about board games. That the kinds of articles they're writing reveal that they seem to have a pretty superficial view. And he was wondering what effect that might have on people who want to come into the landscape as content creators. I encourage you to go listen to the episode because it's an interesting discussion, and I think Rob and Christina, the other two members of the team, weave a nice balance there, and the conversation is nuanced. Also, there's a thread on the Blue Peg Pink Peg forum that adds quite a bit to the conversation as well. But I was reminded of that along with two other things. The second one comes from a conversation that I saw, and this is going to be the hardest one. I don't even know if I'll be able to find a link to it, but I saw on Shut Up and Sit Down forum where people were talking about games that are really well known or games you should have played, putting "should have" in quotes there, and talking about how they feel as a relatively new gamer. They feel irritated or frustrated or nervous or shamed by people who put stock in the idea of you have to have played a particular game in order to be a good gamer, or more likely say, "What? You haven't played Puerto Rico? You're not a real gamer till you've played Puerto Rico." Or even if they don't say that second half, there's the implication when you say, "What? You haven't played Puerto Rico?" I'm using Puerto Rico as an example because that's a game I haven't played. I know, you've all just unsubscribed. Oh well, because I'm not a real gamer. but in response to that conversation, generally most people are sort of like, well, that person's a dope and a jerk and you shouldn't say things like that. For myself, I said that I like to take the attitude of Randall Monroe, the author of XKCD and a number of other projects. He's a computer programmer and comic artist who draws like these really nice little comic strips, like one panel comic strips about internet culture. And he's got one of my favorites, talks about showing people things. And he says that his attitude about when you discover that somebody doesn't know something is that then you get to be the one who shows them that thing. And so it's a shift in attitude, like going from glasses half full to glasses half empty, or going from, "Well, you haven't played that," to, "Ooh, you haven't played that? Let's get it on the table. I want to show you why it's so great." So, like, that's a view I espouse and something I enjoy. And the third thing that inspired the talk today comes from an episode of The Dice Tower I recently watched. I've slowly been making my way through the top tens that Sam, Tom, and Z have made together in recent years, because I find those ones the most interesting, where they're talking back and forth. Honestly, I could just listen to Z Garcia talk forever. He is so funny. The other two are great, but Z Garcia, ooh, hilarious. But they made an episode about games I like with themes I hate. That was the subject of the thing. So they were picking games where they really like the game, but they think the theme is not very good. And in particular, I wanted to point to the way that they talked about two games. Tom put Rococo on his list, and Sam put Pret-a-Porter, or Pret-a-Porte, on his list. If you don't know these games, Rococo is about making dresses in the, I don't know, the sometime in the Renaissance era, where you're making dresses to be sold to people at balls. In Pret-a-Porter, or Pret-a-Porte, you're working at a high-end fashion house in modern times. So both of these games are about making clothes and about engaging in the fashion industry. For me, but okay, I'll get to that. Tom approached this in the way that I was more pleased to hear, which was to say, this isn't a theme that interests him. I don't have a problem with that, and I'm not trying to call out anything. If you don't like a theme, you don't like a theme. That's fine. Sam, however, when he talked about Pret-a-Porter, or Pret-a-Porte, I'm going to stop correcting myself. I'm just going to say Pret-a-Porter for now, and let everybody know, I understand French. I know it should have a long A sound at the end of that word, but if you're looking it up, and I've heard a lot of Americans pronounce it the way I'm pronouncing it, so that's how I'm... No, I'm reversing myself. I'm going to pronounce it the French way. So with Sam, the Pret-a-Porte discussion not only hinged on I'm not interested in designing a fashion house, but also that there was a kind of public shame in doing so. And in fact, he said, while I was playing it, somebody, and he said the name of the person, I don't remember who, somebody walked by and said, ah, have fun making dresses, blah. And then someone else said, and that's why they're retheming it. And that made me really sad. I see this on The Secret Cabal sometimes too, which is overall a very good podcast, but sometimes they tease one another for not liking the right thing. And it's not in a sort of joking, I like this game, you don't kind of way, but rather a sense that, of course, no guy is going to like a dressmaking game, or giving Chris, I think Chris is the one who likes Rococo, and giving him a hard time for liking that game. And boy, that rubs me the wrong way. Not trying to call out Secret Cabal here, but that's another place I've noticed that. Particularly, I'm thinking of the story Sam tells, where somebody comes by and sort of makes fun of him, particularly for playing that game. So all of this goes to something that I think generally is pretty good in the board game community, but we could be better at, which is enthusiasm and welcoming where possible, and lack of judgment where not possible. Now, with any deep hobby, there's definitely lines of judgment. I will admit, when I see people saying they like Munchkin, I have a hard time not complaining about Munchkin. Or when somebody tells me they like to play board games, but then the games they mention are games I would not want to play, I have a hard time not saying anything. I had a friend, I said something about playing board games, and I had a work colleague who said he had an appointment to play Monopoly that week with his son. And in my head, I said, oh man, don't play Monopoly. Which is exactly the kind of judgmental attitude I'm trying to get away from. So I think that there is a strain in our hobby, which is true of many hobbies about rarefied things, that attaches a kind of status to the kinds of games you play, the kinds of games you like, and encourages us in one way or another to bolster that status by pointing out when other people don't share that status with you. So, for example, what I just said, had I said to my friend, I wouldn't play Monopoly, that's a terrible choice, right? Rather than, I mean, a positive way would have been, oh, that's interesting, have you tried this other game, which would be, say, maybe also a financial trading game, have you tried Stockpile, which is a financial trading game that's supposed to be much more fun than Monopoly, and doesn't involve a lot of the bad things Monopoly does, or any number of other games that one could suggest to pull someone toward the hobby rather than pushing them away. And I think there's a level of responsibility that we have to help foster the right kind of attitude in our culture. So one of the things I've tried to do a bit more, and I guess I'm doing this on the forums, and I don't know how it comes off. I don't do it too often, but if I see somebody wielding an elitist attitude, that's something I'm generally not gonna cotton, or I'm not gonna abide that. I've mentioned a number of times toggle gaming as an important part of my gaming life. There's this game club that I go to about once a week that is set up around welcoming people to play games, helping them play games, and encouraging them to join for games. One of our rules is that you never have to pay to play games at Toggle, that all the games are freely available to anybody who comes, and that we don't demand you contribute or demand that you join or anything. We also have games for everybody. We have a bunch of different Munchkin sets. We have Cards Against Humanity, games that I generally don't like, but get a lot of play. And when new people come and they haven't played much in the way of games, often they'll go to games that they've played before, or games they're familiar with. So it might be something like Munchkin or Cards Against Humanity or Pandemic or one of the sort of staples of the hobby that they've encountered before, and they know to pick that up, and then maybe they would work their way into other games later. So from that perspective, the beauty of something like Toggle that's built around this idea of being welcoming is the idea that if you're playing a game, you're a gamer. And the more games we can get people to play, the wider this hobby gets. One of my responses to Patrick's, the thread on Blue Peg, Pink Peg, was that I love it when a new place that I haven't seen covering board games before starts covering them, even if I think their coverage is myopic, either because they don't like the same things I do, or it seems like the person doesn't really know the hobby as well. For one, how do I know? Unless I know specifically who that is and know that they don't, but there's a lot of people in our hobby. But generally my response is, that's awesome. I love it when a new place is covering the hobby because I see two directions that board gaming can go. Direction one is the way I'd like it to go, which is it continues to grow in prominence and commonality to the point that playing games is a standard part. The idea that I would say, yeah, we spent the weekend playing board games, is not any more unusual than somebody saying, yeah, we went to the movies this weekend, or yeah, I read a book this weekend. Although books are, there's a number of people for whom that wouldn't be necessarily the case. But gaming is still a pretty rarefied hobby, and I would love to see it advance more. And the only way that's going to happen is the more coverage it gets, the more mainstream press it gets, where people who are reading Popular Mechanics now get to read an article about how board games are really interesting now. They're not going to find the Dice Tower until they see that thing first. That's why I'm always a little hesitant when people bag on tabletop. Will Wheaton brought tons of people into this hobby and that show. And it makes me really happy that it exists. So for me, the more people get in the hobby, the bigger the hobby gets, the more we can keep making interesting new games. Because right now, the board game publishing landscape, of which I'm a part as part of a boutique publisher, Rattlebox Games, is expanding like a balloon. And the only way that sustains is if the people buying the games expand as well. I'd hate to use this metaphor, but I'm gonna. It's kind of like a Ponzi scheme. Now, a Ponzi scheme, of course, is where one person invests in a thing and you tell them you're going to give them a great return on their investment. And then say you pay that return on investment 50% over a month. They say that's great. And they say, you know, keep my investment, do it again. But they also tell two friends, hey, this guy's giving 50% return on investment in a month. And so then their friends kick in as well. And then they tell people and their friends kick in. As long as you keep having more and more people kick in, you can keep paying that 50% return. Or if the people you're paying it to say, yeah, let's roll the money over and do another round. But as soon as you have to start paying out, eventually paying people using the investment of other people fails. Because eventually the pyramid gets too wide and you can't support the next level of investors. That's why it's called a pyramid scheme. In some ways, the current board gaming market is a pyramid scheme, in that the only way the current crop of publishers makes it is if there's enough new people coming into the hobby that they're in that buying phase where they're buying tons of stuff, and those new publishers can get their feet under them and become established. As long as that audience is continuing to grow, the publishing side of the hobby can continue to grow. At some point, it becomes unsustainable, and there will be a reckoning in the publishing side of things. But until then, I'm happy to see new publishers getting into the game. And I'm trying to be welcoming of everybody I encounter in the hobby. And I'm doing my best to avoid being elitist. Even publish a podcast where I say things like, I don't want to play Monopoly or Munchkin anymore. What do you think about all this? Have you had encounters where you've either dealt with people feeling elitist or felt elitist yourself? Or the other side, how do you maintain your welcoming spirit to help grow the hobby? Pop over to Board Game Geek Guild 3269 and let us know your experiences in this area. And say hello. We also have a Q&A thread there. You can also reach me by Twitter at rattleboxgames.com or email brendan@rattleboxgames. That's it for me today. I hope that you've enjoyed this walk. I've enjoyed talking with you. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Brought to you by Rattlebox Games.